Chav Zion Amud Aleph. We're about 8 lines from the bottom.
How many lines?
Okay, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. 8 lines. 8 lines from the bottom. Chav Zion Amud Aleph. We're up to the words Rav Ikla Lebei Gneva. So we were just discussing last week about the times for Mincha, for Maariv, and we concluded, as you can see before the words Rav, is the Ovid Kamarava, the Ovid Kamarava, that you could follow either opinion.
Even though we first learned that you couldn't do that, yet to be one way or another.
Correct. We gave the Heter Betzivor.
Right.
That's the,
not for an individual.
For an individual, it's more. It's for a Tzibor, you're allowed to have a Tata Desasra, you're allowed to do the contradiction, which means even Davening Mincha after Plag, and on that same day, Davening Mar before Shkia. Not the best thing to do if one could avoid it. Because of Tircha the Tzibor and things that ask them to keep coming back. It's just not going to happen. It's not realistic. Okay, so we're up to Rav Ikla Lebei Gneva. So now we're going to discuss a few other halachos, which are also pertain to tefillah. Rav went to this to Beit Gneva, which is a place to a person. Tzoli shel Shabbos be'erev Shabbos, and he did what we do on a typical summer Friday, and he davened the Shabbos Shmona Esrei on erev Shabbos, meaning before it was Shkia. Right. So that's an important detail that one is allowed to do that, which is a nice way of saying, according to him, he holds like Rabbi Huda. Okay. V'havi matzli Rabbi Yirmiya Baraba l'achori derav. Rabbi Yirmiya Baraba, who apparently was a Talmud, was the student of Rav, he was davening behind his Rebbe. So Rav, who went to this place. Rav was in the front, and right behind him was Rabbi Yirmiya Baraba. Okay, we'll have to see why that's important. Mesayim Rav, so Rav finished the Shmona Esrei. So as we said, Rav, who was the teacher, was in front of Rabbi Yirmiya Baraba, and Rabbi Yirmiya Baraba, who was right behind him, and he was still davening Shmona Esrei. So what did Rav do? Says Vilpaski Lusluse de Rav Yirmiya, that he did not interrupt the davening of Rav Yirmiya, which means that at the end of the Shmona Esrei, when we typically take our steps back, he didn't want to do that because he was concerned by doing so he would bump into him or something. It would be some form of a distraction, and so as to avoid this distraction, he stayed there apparently until Rav Yirmiya finished the Shmona Esrei. Once Rav Yirmiya finished his Shmona Esrei and took the steps back, then and only then Rav did so. Okay, so that's the little story of the day. From that story, we can derive three halachos. Shma Mina Tlas. From here, we can derive Tlas. As I often point out, Tlas is Shalosh, because Tlas is Aramaic for Shalosh. The Shin and the Saf are interchangeable in those two languages. So plus, we see three things from this story. Shema Mina, the first thing that we established is Mispal Adam Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, that a person is allowed to daven, even though it's not yet Shki, it's not yet Friday night. You can still daven the Shmona Esrei of Maariv of Shabbos on Erev Shabbos. Not a problem.
I don't think it'll be Chayav Skila. Shabbos actually comes.
If you there afterwards were Mechal Shabbos before Hesu, that's true. That is true. Correct. I don't think so. I think it's only once Shki actually arrives. That doesn't mean you still have, once you're Mechal Shabbos, you're Mechal Shabbos. It's still an Isser that you've done.
Well, there may be some there are violence consequences.
I'm not familiar with what they are, but yeah. If you look in Rashi, Rashi says, Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos, Shekibel of Shabbos Meboid Yoyim, which is what we said, that he was Mekabel to Shabbos while it was Meboid Yoyim, while it was still a day. And therefore Rashi continues and says, Shema Mina, this is the second to last line on this Amud, we must see from this that he is of the opinion, Kribi Huda Sphere Light, How do we know that he holds Rabbi Yehuda? The Omer miplaga mincha ozle zman tefilas hamincha ve'ayle zman tefilas armis. That once plaga mincha comes, which we establish is 10 3/4 hours after sunrise, which we translate on a perfect 6 6 day as 4:45. So at plaga mincha, that's when ozle zman tefilas mincha, that the time of mincha goes away. You can't have mincha anymore, according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Ayile is Zman Tefillah service and enters, comes in the time which one could daven Marv. Right? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to daven Mincha after Plag. After Plag of Mincha, that's all you have to show.
Forget just Friday night. Is it possible, is it conceivable for you to daven, let's say you go to a place, it's after Plag of Mincha and the daven Marv. Thursday, let's say, not a Friday. And then, but you didn't daven Mincha yet. And then you go to another shul, and you could daven mincha, the tzibura, up until shkia.
What did you do? Did you daven marv with them?
You daven marv with them.
You missed.
But at that time, you daven marv, you were chayav already to say the second shon esrei, right?
I know, but you didn't. But the question is, can you do it and be yotzei that, you know, the correct smana, it was davening the correct smana, but can you technically do that according to, you know, all these various things.
It's kind of like the going back to the concept of Shabbos. Once you're mekabel Shabbos, even though it's still light out, you've established it is now the next day. It's nighttime.
I understand that.
It's the same thing if you daven
Marv.
You would
have to daven mincha tashlumim anyhow.
Right.
So could you go daven with the mincha unless you daven
Marv? But you shouldn't have done that. What you should have done was, in that situation,
you didn't know you were going to be able to daven mincha with the tzibur.
But if you see it, Sibur davening Marav.
Yes, so you said, I don't know where I'm going to be later, but I can have Marav with a minion now and the davening here.
You should have davened Mincha Shemon Esrei while they were davening the Marav Shemon Esrei.
You should have done the second Shemon Esrei.
Well, I'm saying, in this situation, before, if you didn't daven Marav and didn't daven Mincha, that's after Plag, right. But it's before Shkia.
Right.
And you're with a minion that's davening Marav.
Right.
You should daven Mincha with them while they're davening Marav. That's an option. It's not a problem. But once you're Makabel, davening Marev, you're establishing that you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda. And once you establish you're passing like Rabbi Yehuda, now it's considered night. You can no longer daven Mincha. So you'd have to do the Tashlumen, as Stanley said. And if you didn't, that's the problem.
But if you daven Tashlumen with the minion, it was, let's say, he came then to Oif Tzedek. Is there still daven? I didn't know they were going to daven Mincha. Now they daven for Shkia.
You know, Amuel.
You walk in.
That's the case of Amuel. You walked into Amuel. But once he took the Mirav on.
Right. You can't daven Mincha.
You daven Mincha. All you're talking about is saying Shimon Esrei.
Right.
You're not concerned with the Ashra.
Right.
No, we can't discuss about the minion, which you didn't do. Because otherwise, you're really not davening the Teshuvah with the minion, really, because the minion's not saying it.
Correct.
So, is it a bigger schus to do it or not to do it?
To what?
So then daven later, you say, I did daven, I daven, and you made a mistake, and I didn't daven, you know, I could daven Marav, you daven Marav, I forgot about Mincha. Wait, I never daven Mincha, and I come later,
right.
And I know that Oveid Tzedek has a minion for Mincha right before Shkia.
The Tashlumen is supposed to be done right after the regular Shemoneh Esrei. You're not supposed to daven the Marav, and then a few hours later do the Tashlumen. It really should be connected to the Zman of your Tefillah. That's the whole concept of Tashlumen. That's how it should be done. But, you were going to say something?
If you say Kaddish for Marav.
Kaddish?
No, a person who says Kaddish.
Yeah, okay.
And then you go to another place, they have Bilcha.
You can always say, you know, Kaddish. You're saying, let's say, for example, to your site? You're saying it all year, so absolutely. You can always say the Kaddish Yosam, that's not a problem. Doesn't matter if it's Shachris, Mincha, Marv.
Because I go to a room and they say Kaddish, I say Kaddish.
Sure. Even if you're not davening with a minion, if let's say you're walking by and you hear that there's someone about to say a kaddish, you can always walk in and say it with them. That's not a problem.
Your side,
yeah.
And let's say you daven mincha. You're your size for the next day.
Right.
And now you learn. You finish learning. You say the first, in other words, let's say it was two ba'av, you had Yerushalayim. So last night you finished learning. Does the person say the Kaddish then, or does he say the first Kaddish after Maariv?
I think they should be able to do it even before Maariv. It's not a problem because first of all,
it's usually after Shkia, right? So the right thing is to say the Kaddish after the learning.
And the Kaddish the Rabbanan is not on the same caliber as a Kaddish Yosem. You know, Kaddish when a person is saying the mourner's Kaddish, that's the Yortzei. Kaddish the Rabbanan, even if someone is not saying Kaddish, we're more lenient. Anyone can say Kaddish the Rabbanan. So for them to say Kaddish the Rabbanan, they should be encouraged to. It's not a problem at all.
I
think so. Yeah. Especially on the first night. The question is, if they just yesterday was, I dab mincha. It was the person's yard site, and now the yard site's over, so it's kind of over already. It's pashkia. It's not necessary. Anyway, so we clearly see according to this, the first thing, the first shema minah, is that a person is allowed to daven while it's mibod yom, which clearly, as we established before in halacha, that one is allowed to do that. That's what we see people do, masim b'chol yom. Continuing in the Gemara, so that's the first thing that we derive from here. Now we are five lines from the bottom, in the middle. V'shma mino, we also see a second thing. Mispal Talmud achuri rabba, that a Talmud is allowed to daven behind his teacher. Which,
why wouldn't it be allowed to
die? We'll have to see. Why not? The Gemara is going to discuss that. It's going to be Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Why? Why? Maybe yes. Why? Maybe not. Shema Minah. The third thing that we see, because we see that you're allowed to, because that was the story. The Shema Minah. And the third thing which we saw is Asalaver Kenegin Mespalim. You're not allowed to walk by a person while they're in the middle of Shemon Esrei. Mespalim doesn't mean they're saying Pesukah de Zimra. When they're in the middle of Shemon Esrei, you're not allowed to walk in front of them. So that's the reason why Rav didn't take his steps back, because that would have been Kenegin Mespalim. We'll discuss the reasoning for that as well. Okay. In Messiah, Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, we have a support to this from the words of Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, the Yom Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, Asa Lavor Kenegin HaMespalim. So it's pretty straightforward that one is not allowed to do such a thing. So the Gemara asks, and it's not so. Baha Rab Ami, Rab Asi, Chalfi, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, they were Chalfi, they did pass by. We notice these two greats, Rab Ami and Rab Asi, that they when they walked in front of someone. So Rav Ami Rav Asi chutz l'arba amos hu d'chalfi. Rav Ami Rav Asi,
four amos.
It was beyond four.
You walked back 3 amos, so that's why you had enough with 4 amos.
So as long as you're within this 4 amos,
so they
away,
can step back the 3 amos when you're davening. You're not going to impinge on
it. Provided that you're far enough away.
Exactly.
Right. So we'll discuss the reasoning behind this. Right now, I didn't make copies because it's literally just two sentences. But I just want to share with you what it says in Halacha regarding this this concept. It's brought down in the Mechaber in Simon Kuf Beis. It says as follows: It says, "Asur lavor kenegin hamispalim." You're not allowed to walk in front of someone b'soich arba amos, which is exactly what the Gemara said. If you're within this, let's say, 6 feet, you can't cut right in front of them. V'dafku lifneihem, it only means in front. Avol b'steihem, but if you walk on by their side, I'm davening Shemon Esrei here, and you walk by me here, mutter lavor v'lamoy, that you're allowed to do. And on this, the Mishnah Berurah brings two opinions, two reasons why one is not allowed to walk in front of someone. And we'll discuss in the Bir Halachas for 1 minute the nafgamina, why it really matters, why we need two different reasons. So the Mishnah Berurah says, reason number one, mipnei shemavatel kavanaso al yidei zeh, because it has to do with kavana. If I'm davening in the Shemon Esrei and you're zooming in front of me and people are walking in front of me, it's going to distract me, I'm going to be looking up and this and that. And therefore, the concept of arba amos, I think, means that if the person is walking in front of me but it's so far away, it's almost away from my peripheral vision, or it's away from, I'm davening from a sitter, so it's not going to bother me. It's not going to detract my kavanah.
Well, let's take the shul, you don't have Baba Amos. Everything's very tight, you're stepping back, and there's a guy behind you, so quite halacha, you couldn't, you have to sit in your place and not wait for Kogi Shul, is he finishing or not, because you're going to disturb him.
That's a valid question. We'll hold off on that for a second. But apparently that sounds to be an issue based on the Gemara and based on the Halacha. So we'll have to see. I mean, that's what the Gemara says.
Yeah, based on what you're saying. Right?
But we'll get into that in like 1 minute. The second reason of the Mishnah Berurah, he cites the Chai Adam. He says, "Mitnei shemasik ben hamispalel lahashchina." Very interesting. So it's right. So but you standing in front of, it's like I'm in the middle of a conversation. It's rude for you to walk in between two people who are talking. That's what you're doing. That's what Esther is about. So the Bir Halacha says something interesting. I'm not going to read it inside. The Bir Halacha says that when it comes to Nesias Kapayim, when it comes to a Kohen Aduchins, then I'll have a mum. If they have some type of a blemish, they can't lead the Duchening. There's exceptions to that, which we discussed in the Gemara Megillah, which we're not going to get into. But the idea is that it'll distract people. And therefore, we can't have those types of people leading the Duchening. But it's brought down in the Sefer Mamre Mordechai that the Kohen has a talus. And he throws the talus over his head,
right, so
and over his hands.
It.
Can't see anything anywhere.
Right, so what's the
Shani? Yeah, and that's what he says. He says, you are allowed to. He's allowed to duchen. He says, afil yeshul kama mumin. I don't know what that means. He's filled with blemishes, many, many blemishes. Doesn't make a difference. Can't see him anyway. So it's interesting. The Bir Halacha says, if it's because of kavana, let's say the person that's davening behind you is a heilig yid. He wears the talus over. His
so
head.
Be distracting if you walk in front of him.
Exactly. So you're not going to see him anywhere. It's not going to make a difference. So according to the first reason of the Mishnah Berurah, if you know the guy, you have to station yourself behind, in front of a guy who does the over-the-top thing. Okay. But... not so fast. It's not so posh. But that's what he says. Mikol Mokoim... Roy Lachosh Lachmer. It's still good to be strict, even so, not to take this kula. And he says, but if according to the reasoning of the Chayadam, the whole problem is that you're being masik between the person who's davening and the Shechina, it doesn't make a difference if he has 10 talasim over his head. Regardless, you're still being masik between the davening and the Shechina, and therefore the talus heter doesn't really, doesn't help at all. Exactly. So this is an interesting thing that's brought down in the Bir Halacha. And then before we move forward, I just want to share with you one other thing in regards to this topic. It's brought down in the Gra. The Vilna Gaon says, and it's just two sentences, but it's an interesting quote. The MS, truthfully, Ein Isser, and this I think may address your question. Ein Isser Lesoa V'Lachzer Kenegan Mispalo. There's really no issue in you taking your steps back and doing even though there's a person behind you. This is something which is part of the davening.
Customary.
Yeah, this is what you have to do. It's part of the whole the ceremony of the procedures of davening. The whole problem. What's the Gemara really addressing over here? Shul avor mitzad. Lasad, they shouldn't pass from like one to the next. Vilashevas Pasada Shani, and to sit down right next to him. So it's saying that he feels that the whole prohibition, and this is it's brought down in the Halacha before that, which we're not getting into, of sitting right next to him. And therefore the idea of walking behind him is walking in front of him may not necessarily be the issue over here, it may be the issue of just like plopping yourself down right in front of him. Which is a problem. Like in my yeshiva, in Miami, in most yeshivas, they educate the bachurim that during chazaras hashatz, You're supposed to stand during the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. I'm not machbid, but when it comes on Shabbos, you see me sitting down during the repetition of Shemoneh Esrei. During the weekday, I'm standing. Why am I standing? It's because I'm machbid? Because I'm literally like 3 inches from the chazan. And I'm not really supposed to, you know, within Arba Amos, you're not supposed to be sitting down. That's what a person who's been mispalim.
Arba Amos or a chazan? The Shiva?
Yeah. Or anyone. Or anyone. If someone's davening the Shemoneh Esrei, you're not supposed to just sit down like 2 inches away from him. I'll just share with you this one halach, which is not connected to this Gemara, but it's in the same simon. Also leshe besoch arba amos shel mispalim. That's what it says. You're not allowed to sit within 4 amos of a person who's davening Shemoneh Esrei. That's what it says. Obviously, there's more to it, but that's the reason why I stand during the Chazar Sashatz. I would love to be able to sit down, but I can't. I'm not allowed to. Okay.
That's why maybe the other rabbi sat on the other side.
It's a thought.
Just sat on that side.
Exactly. That would do it. Anyway, let's go. Let's continue. So we understand a little bit about these halachas. There's one over here which is a little bit difficult to understand. This idea of not of what's the difference if your teacher is in front of you and the Talmud is behind. And in fact, we're going to see. So let's see the Gemara. Okay, we're in the second to last line on Chav Zayin Amud Aleph. It says as follows: Rabbi Yirmiyah, who is a student of Rab, Hechi Ovid Hachi. How could he have done such a thing? How could he have davened behind his teacher? But I'm Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda says, in the name of Rab, always, forever, Al Yispal Adam, a person can never daven, no excuses, Lo Kenegin Rabbi, and Al Tadavin Kenegin Rabbi. Kenegin Rabbi
alongside.
If you look in Rashi says, Eitzel Rabbi, alongside. Why? What's the big deal? What's the problem? After all, you're good friends with him. Umark il him shavim, because it looks like you're equal, and that shows a lack of kavod harav that my rosh hashiva, I'm never going to be equal to him. So for me to daven next to him, it's as though like we're standing side by side. It's
based
not the case.
This you only can stand in front of your rabbi, which really doesn't make sense. And it's more of a kavod than if you're behind your rabbi. You know, you're going to stand in front of him. You're going to go
right.
How does that make sense?
Right, the next 3 words of the Gemara, V'lo achori rabba. Right now, to daven behind
so
you.
So what's it's only place left is in front. It's better to stand in front of your rabbi.
Right.
I mean, that's no respect.
Everybody's behind. We took Arba'amos. Everybody's behind.
You're right.
From the Arba'amos, then, though. In other words, first row behind you. So.
It sounds to be problematic.
Maybe that's why. No. Seriously,
right.
The swear Rebbe.
Yeah, go ahead.
He dives in a room by himself with the door open and he hears the Shliach Tzibur. You know that?
Really? It's very possible.
I don't know.
Which is interesting, just based on these words, we'll have to understand this Gemara a little bit better.
There's nobody negative. There's nobody behind him.
Right, so that sounds perfect. That
nobody
sounds perfect. Right.
Because this really, to me, to stand in front of your rabbi seems more of a thing than standing.
Right. Right.
I don't know Shabbos, but I know a whole week.
Right.
That's his shul, his base rabbi, just right now.
Right.
That's the way it is. He's in a little room.
Yeah, it's very possible. It's very possible that that's the way he does it that way. Which is the challenge of V'lo achori rabbi, which we'll see in a second, the Machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, is that every single yeshiva in the world, that's what they do. Their Rebbe sits in the front.
In the front, facing. Right.
Facing, and then the Shemoneh Esrei, the Rebbe is in the
so
front.
And the Talmud. Behind the rabbi.
Exactly.
That's what I said. Nobody sits in front of him.
I think I'm willing.
So we'll have done
a certain distance away.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, there's certainly ways around it, which we'll discuss. Well, so what does it mean, V'lo achori rabba? So what's the problem with that? So Rashi says, Nami Yehurahu. It's also, Yehurah's gaiva. It's a form of haughtiness, that you're staring at the neck, the back of your teacher. It's not a respectful thing. That's how Rashi interprets it. Tosfos is a very unique, very interesting twist to this pshat. Perish Rashi, the top Tosfos. Mishum Yehura, those are Rashi we just quoted, that Tosfos is quoting. V'yesh Meforesh Shenira Kimishtach Vel Rabloi.
Now, looks like that, but I'm saying to you, what care? So if you're in front of the, if you're in front of them, see that the Rebbe is bowing down to the student.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Everyone knows which. Right, who's going to think that the teacher is bowing to the student? But the student, especially when you see some like Hasidim and the way that they interact with their Rebbe, you could almost begin to imagine that they worship this guy quite literally. And therefore, one is not allowed to daven, regardless, whatever the reasons are. It's a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, but it doesn't seem to have a tremendous practical nafkamina. One is not allowed to daven behind their Rebbe. So that's the question. How could he have done it? Vasanya, and furthermore, we've learned in a braisa, Rabbi Eliezer, Oimer HaMespalchoi Rabo. If a person does daven behind their Rebbe, it's not a good thing. We're going to see it's a terrible avol, a terrible thing that can happen. Also, v'anoisin shom rabba. If you give greeting to your teacher, you're supposed to ignore him. You're supposed to be, you know, you see the Rebbe. No, it doesn't mean there's anything wrong with being noisin shom rabba, but Rashi says, kishar kol adam. If you treat your Rebbe just like any other guy on the street, and you say to him, shom alecha, right, if to speak respectfully to a prominent a Rosh Hashiva, a Gadol B'Torah, so you have to show respect. The person doesn't do that. Maxer Shalom Rabbo, one who responds to his teacher in the same fashion by not saying Rebbe. V'cholik al Yeshivaso Shol Rabbo, a person who cholik, one who. Correct. One who opens up his own yeshiva, or one who does his own teachings without the Rebbe's consent. Of course, there's nothing wrong with it if you ask for shus from the Rav. But Oimer Davar Shlo Shema Mepi Rabba, a person who says something which was not heard from his Rebbe. In other words, you start quoting things, you start saying things, and it wasn't from your Rebbe. So, Garim Shechina Shnistal Yisrael. It causes the Shechina to be removed from Klal Yisrael. So, the idea of this last statement, someone who says something, Shloi Mepi Rabo, is possibly because you're trying to take credit for it.
Right.
Right?
And you don't call your Rebbe, like you always call your Rabbi.
You have to say
the shame Amru in general.
Maybe
Gul Olam. That's the joke that they say why pulpit rabbis, when they end off their sermons, they always say we should be zoicha to the building based on Mikdash. It's because they take the credit for their own for the Torah, which they really should be quoting someone else. So you can't be maybe Gul Olam in that way. So they have to. Ask for a bracha that we should still have Mashiach come. But that's one shot. The Rambam actually says another interesting idea. That a true Talmud-Rav relationship is a Rav Mohawk teaches you everything that you know, or Rav Chachma. And therefore, if I say something and people know that I was in a yeshiva for X amount of years, it's a fact in people's mind, at least, that I must be quoting my Rav. And therefore, the problem is, what if I'm really not? What if I'm not really saying something which he said? So they may go to him and say, how could you have said such a thing? He's like, I never said that. It can cause problems. Anyway, all these things clearly stem from a lack of respect to someone who is a gadol b'Torah. But this is the Gemara's question. The Gemara's question is, Rav was... who's a tremendous person. How could Rabbi Yirmiyah have davened behind him? You're not supposed to do so. So Gemara says, Shani Rabbi Yirmiyah bar Abba, the Talmud Chaver Havi. Rabbi Yirmiyah was different because he was a Talmud Chaver. What does that mean, he was a Talmud Chaver? So it means as follows. In the event that you have a Rav, and I'm a Talmud, which means he is light years ahead of me in Chachman wisdom. I certainly have to show all the respect that's due to this person. But it's possible that I'm a Talmud of yours, but I'm also a Chaver, which means we're contemporaries, we're equals on some level, but you do know more than me, you have taught me a lot, so that's considered to be a Talmud Chaver. So Rav Yirmiya did not have the same obligation of giving kavod to Rav as a Talmud Rebbe relationship, because it was a Talmud Chaver, which means they were closer in Chochmah, and therefore it was okay. And we're going to prove this. This is what Rav Yirmiya asked his friend Rav. Mi badalta, he said, did you separate? Which is a nice question that he asked. He was just asking him, did you separate from doing malacha? And Amrlei, and on this, Rav said, in, yes. Badil and I did separate. The Amr, and he did not say, mi badil mar. Did mar, did Rebbe separate from malacha? And certainly, if it was a Rav Talmud relationship, that's what he would say. And that's certainly in the yeshiva in Ner Yisrael, when I was we were very, very machbid, that we'd say, what does Rebbe think about this? What does Rebbe think about that? And then when I went to Miami and I started speaking like that to one of my Rebbeim, he said, I don't know, why don't you go ask him? okay. But that's the proper way of speaking in third person. If you look in Rashi, Rashi is the third line. Going back to what we were speaking about before, that Rav davened the Marv Shabbos Shmona Esrei while it was still Friday afternoon. So on the third line on the top, that's what it's talking about. It was Be'erev Shabbos. So Omer Rav Yirmiya, this is still part of the whole conversation. This is not like an isolated incident. This is the same day that Rav Yirmiya was davening behind Rav. He said, "Mi badalta min ha-malacha? Did you stop doing work? Were you mekamel Shabbos? Hoyel v'kabalta lecha Shabbos betfilah secha. Since you accepted Shabbos in your tefillah, does that mean you can't do malach anymore?" That's kind of what he was asking. So, v'loy armulei mi badal marsh. Maminah tamal chaver havilei. That's what Rashi says. So, and the fact is that he wasn't reprimanded by Rav. He said, yes, I did. I davened already, and therefore I no longer am doing malacha. Okay. So that's the right.
And I think if we're walking off from shul, and before that mention, mm-hmm. you see a person driving his car, you can't say good Shabbos. Correct?
No, the problem is that perhaps they will respond, and that may cause them to be mekabel Shabbos. That may be something about kabbal Shabbos.
What if they honk your horn at you? You wait to the driving honk.
Well, they don't want to hit you, I guess. That's probably why they're honking at you.
But I think somebody once said, don't take Shabbos to somebody who still didn't take Shabbos upon them.
Yeah, well, it's absolutely, that's true. Because, I mean, the problem is that they mean Kabbalah Shabbos on some level. There's a possibility of Kabbalah Shabbos for them.
If they said good Shabbos to me.
Yeah, that's probably... If they would say it back. There's some people that are makbid, that when you're walking home, Shabbos, lunch, or whatever, and you see your neighbor who's Jewish who's mowing the lawn,
right.
So you say good Shabbos. And if they say good Shabbos, there's some say that's an Indian of Zohar Shem Shabbos. That they were Mekayim a mitzvah of acknowledging Shabbos. So the more people you sing a Shabbos to, assuming that it's not strange, but well, you know, what can you do? You know, not everyone's perfect. But that's probably one Indian. I would imagine there's probably a lot of Morris Ayan as well. It's a very strange feeling that you're walking home and you see cars buzzing by with people that you know, exactly. And it's even more of a strange feeling when you're the guy in the car. You know?
You know what the strange feeling is? When you're in Eretz Yisrael, and it's a 6-hour difference,
You know, and like they started Shabbos, we started Shabbos there, and yet in New York, and then when Shabbos ends, it's a 6-hour difference.
Right.
If I say to myself, I'm being Mechal Shabbos on Shabbos in New York.
Right. That's right. It is problematic. This is a little bit on a tangent. Of you calling, if you
right.
call someone who is not religious,
yes, right.
in a different time zone, and it's just Motzi Shabbos or whatever.
You're creating them to be Mechal Shabbos.
It's yeah. There's some mikshel.
If you have 2 days, holidays,
that's
in Israel, you have to make two. So the same thing. If you're there and Shabbat is still not there, so
no. What about no Yantif?
You know, two day Yantif, you're saying, right?
Yantif is very hard.
Two day Yantif, what do you do?
No, what's the situation again? So it's a 2 day Yantif in Israel? People, you're in Israel and you keep 2 days?
In Israel, I keep 2 days.
Yeah, but there are people that keep one.
Yeah, because
the Israelis keep one and anti Americans keep one.
No, I have two citizenships.
Okay.
And I can vote here and vote there. And the system, both ways.
Okay.
So, if I'm in Israel, what do I do? 1 day or 2 days?
I don't think it has to do with the vote. I don't want to say it.
Yeah,
okay. I don't want to
you live. That. You live probably more in Israel. You live in Israel 10 months out of
no,
the year, right?
The first thing I heard, if you're there 3 times, the Shlosh Regalim.
Right.
There are a lot of differences.
There's a lot to talk
13
about.
13 different ways.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's
really. I know some Americans that only observe a half a day on the second day.
Right. Right. They call it 1.5.
They go 1.5.
Right.
Then I know people that Irwin would open up the car for me, door. I can't drive, but
right.
I go in the car with them.
It's
for Pesach, two sidurim, right? I'm in Israel, they have one.
Correct.
I have with the family, what do? I do my home?
You're in Israel, do what they do there.
I have to do the same thing.
When you're wrong, it was a Roman.
It's not that simple. Let me say. Truthfully, don't believe East Peckman's talk. This is nonsense. It's a very complicated thing.
Yeah, it's complicated.
No, it's
so
complicated.
I already
way.
Go to work, and what I do?
I don't think the citizenship is. I don't want to Paskin. I've never heard about the citizenship.
Go ahead, Paskin already.
No. I've never heard about the citizenship. I've heard of people who own a home there and are there for the three regalim. If you're there, Pesach, then they observe one citizen and no citizen. They observe 1 day.
I own a house there too. So.
Well, what are you asking me for? What are you talking about?
He needs a place to stay. It's very complicated. Every situation is different. It has to be analyzed and understood exactly how long you're there, what's all these different things. So, I just wanted to, because this was a question that was asked, just wanted to share with you in Siman Sadi, it's brought down the following. It says, Lo yispalel besad rabo, yinal tadavan, this is kind of funny when you're asking, where could you daven already? Yinal tadavan the side of your rabbi. V'lo achburi rabo, you can't daven behind him. V'lo lefanav, it says you can't daven in front of him either. It's not brought down in the Gemara,
right.
So it's like, so what does that mean? You can't daven in the same room,
right? Shouldn't all those things be within a certain amount of footage of a person?
We're gonna, yeah, absolutely, we're gonna see that. He said, not on the side either. Not in the front, not back, and not in the sides. That's what it says.
Yeah,
without looking at anything.
Most people in our shul observe that way. You know how? They don't come at all.
It's their machmen. They're very, they don't
want to,
just in case.
Back aside, so you stay at home, you don't have a problem.
You never know, right? I don't want to break any rules, right? In parentheses, he says, Yesh omrim, nechol zel omairi el hispal biyochid. Some say this whole problem is only if you're by yourself. Elbow, but Sibor. Imkahu Seder Yeshiva so? If this is the way that the arrangement of the seats are, and there's not much you can do about it, Ein Lochush Im Ispal Funav Alacharev. We're not concerned. Because what are you supposed to do? Because, what do you mean? It's a halacha. The question, what do you mean? It's a halacha.
Right.
And the pshat is, that's why you have to be sensitive to the pshat and Rashi. Rashi says that it's not that you're not allowed to do it, it's the reasoning why you can't do it. And the reason is because you look like a Baal Gaiva, you're trying to act like you're equal to him, but you're just doing it because you have no other choice. So no one will have that perception.
It's not a Pekamon's cover.
Correct, right. And then it says, im hirchik arba amos mutar. If you're four amos away, that's not a problem. And the Mishnah Berurah says, I'll just read this one sentence and we'll move forward. He says, the reason why, what's arba amos? Dereshus acheres hi. So you're in a completely different domain. Therefore, it's not an issue at all.
But here, in Shul, you say by Rabbo or by everybody? The arba amos. For each person?
This is talking about the Shmon Esrei, talking about walking in front of. Walking in front of, that's another halacha.
There are other people there. The Arba Amos, I don't think could apply. Exactly. You won't be in shul. Look here.
Right. So it's, but that same idea, some borrow this idea of Seder Yeshiva, so of how people are situated, that it's just physically impossible to, you know, this is how it is. And therefore it's less of an issue. Certainly if it's the Kavana problem, so it's not something, it's something which you're used to because it's something which happens all the time. And therefore that would be less problematic. So there are certainly numerous heterim just for practical reasons. Okay, so anyway, that's the Gemara, which basically again established this concept that when it comes to a Talmud Rav, you're not allowed to daven behind your Rav. Unless, again, the situation is that he's a Talmud Chaver. If you're close in knowledge to your Rav, then there is an understanding that it's not the same halachos. And therefore, when he spoke to him...
Can't you say that the Rav, I'm sure, would be mindful of everybody if and when they were there?
As if he didn't...
Wouldn't you think that, you know, from the... at least behind and everything,
right,
that you're mindful of everybody, that you can and you can be behind and that it's not hurting the covered. And actually the walking in front of the screen is one thing.
Right.
But the other things, I would imagine.
Yeah, I don't think it has anything to do with the Rav. In fact, it's an interesting thing what the Gemara says, and we'll conclude with this last idea, is the Gemara says that if you do any of these things, it doesn't say you're going to go straight to Gehenna or whatever. You're going to get Malchus. Garmo Shechina Shestav Yisrael. It causes the Shechina to leave. What does it mean the Shechina leaves? It's because when a person does not show respect for someone who represents Torah, so they don't care. What do I care? I'm an Anav, I'm a Tzad. You know, I don't care. I don't need the Kavod. But the problem is that by you not showing the Kavod, then it's a Chisaron in yourself. And it could possibly feed off other people around you as well, which therefore they will no longer appreciate Torah. If you don't show appreciation to people that embody Torah, it shows that you don't appreciate Torah, you don't appreciate God. And therefore God, this godliness will disperse from this world. That's what it means that the Shekhinah will go away. And that's the reason why my Rosh Yeshiva was very, very machbid, that he would make sure that we would always have to stand up for him. And in Olson Ne'er Yisrael, as I mentioned before, hundreds of people learning the Beis Medrash, you have to stand up. So what do you mean? It's Bittul Torah. But that those couple of moments of not learning, as significant as that was, is on no way on the same level. Because it's, and not for him, but to instill that understanding of the importance and the significance of that. And therefore, a person who doesn't causes the Shechina Shnistalik Mi'Yisrael. Stop.